Happy Cyber Week, Brendan.
Greetings, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast is going for episode 209. I will actually redact my previous statement. Cyber Week is not a thing.
No. Black... Sounds like you're trying to have sex with it.
Yeah. Oh, that's wrong.
Hey, Macy's is... ASL.
I mean, it is hump day, so... but we didn't acknowledge it this year, probably because we you know don't think it's a thing, and we've said it multiple times on the show. But yeah, Black Friday and people getting hurt and just generally being people that want to buy things, it's not a thing. Choose experiences, donate money to causes. There's all sorts of ways that you can spend your time and money, but don't get caught up in the ridiculousness that is the shopping season if you can help it. We're going to we're going to start off with some news that happened over Thanksgiving that a hacker broke into some Muni computers, like a fair amount of them, and demanded a ransom. And when the because the extent of the hack seemed pretty large, like it was showing up on the terminals in the stations that where the you know the fair attendants are and other machines, they decided to lock down the whole of Muni's kind of computing infrastructure, which meant that all of the ticket machines and the gates, they just left open. So for the Thanksgiving weekend, Muni was free. At least the light rail for Muni was free in San Francisco. They've since kind of gotten more information and determined that the fare machines are not affected by the hack. So they turn those on. But there's still some question over what data the hacker has. And the hackers... or hacking group is demanding something like $73,000 to ransom, you know, whatever data he does have, which sucks. Not a thing. We've talked about that in the past. There have been a number of hacks at hospitals. I think there were at least two in the year that we were kind of looking at it, where they were exploiting kind of old hardware and software in hospitals and kind of holding things for ransom. I think that's really terrible in pretty much any case, but specifically in a hospital where people's lives are actually on the line, that's like an extra level of badness there. So shame, hacker. Hopefully that gets resolved without you know bowing to ransom pressures and stuff like that. Kind of in the same vein, it's surprisingly easy to be a hacker now. The botnet that was used to take down a significant portion of the internet, including Netflix, this was a few weeks ago, maybe even a month ago. That botnet that we'd talked about on the show, the Mirai botnet, that was made up of mostly compromised routers and kind of cheaper Internet of Things devices that have enough processing power to be on the internet, but not really enough security to make that make sense. There's something like 400,000 computers that are compromised, and you can rent them now for something like $4,000 a week. But really, don't rent them. That's not a thing. DDoS attacks. Really not a thing. Hopefully we can avoid some of those as the months go on. I think every year that we've done the podcast, there's been a DDoS of the Xbox and PSN, the PlayStation kind of networks, right around Christmas time or right after Christmas. So everyone opening their presents on Christmas morning, wanting to go play games, get screwed because of a DDoS attack. Hopefully that doesn't happen again this year, but I have a feeling it might. DDoSs are not a thing. They're especially bad from these bots because they can actually spoof IPs as well, so they're pretty resistant to a lot of the tactics used to fight DDoS attacks. I hate them. The internet is a thing, but it's not as resilient of a thing as it could be. And that
sometimes people aren't a thing.
Yes. you'd think that you know, whatever joy they get out of this is short lived, or at least I hope so, and then they move on to kind of doing something else with their lives. But who knows? Who knows? With any luck, we'll be able to, you know, the security researchers will be able to analyze the attack patterns and fix that. Probably using AI is my guess. Probably involving a few different AIs. So speaking of AI, Google's DeepMind project, which has been attached to a lot of things recently. Was attached to some folks at Oxford University in England, and they're training it to do lip reading. They're feeding it transcripts of broadcasts of BBC shows. It's something like, you know, many thousands of hours of shows, and in order to train the AI to recognize you know, lip movements and translate those into speech. They recently did a test versus a like a court appointed lip reader who I guess helps in situations where people have really quiet voices and they're trying to transcribe what they're being said. And the person did like 25% of, or got 25% of the words in the sample that they did, and the AI got over 50%. Robots are taking our jobs. We've described this multiple times in the past. And B, if you've seen 2001 A Space Odyssey, you know this is all sorts of bad. Because once Google DeepMind can tell that we're talking about shutting it off, it's going to blow the explosive bolts and we'll all die in the vacuum of space. So, not a thing.
Better teach it to start singing Daisy.
Not a thing, but sort of a thing. It is interesting to see the application of this. And I think the article mentions that it's an actually interesting data set, because being from, you know, the BBC, it's not as or it has kind of a diverse set of things from the different, you know, folks, because it wasn't all news based. I think they also had like entertainment and then the transcriptions that were fed in along with that. So you get a range of they wanted to make it as wide ranging as possible for the speakers that can do it. It is a little constrained still because it's in English, and it would be interesting to see if it could do it in any other languages or handle things where the lips aren't the only kind of creator of the sound. I mean, lips do shape the sound, but a lot of the sound is produced by the vocal cords in the throat, which you can't see. So it'd be really interesting to see what more kind of comes out of that. In a different Google DeepMind project, this one is interesting. It's they're pairing up with Blizzard Entertainment, so the guys that make World of Warcraft and other things like that, but specifically StarCraft. So they are partnering with Google DeepMind to let the AI train itself to play StarCraft.
I don't like this at all.
No, this is a terrible idea. Let's give an AI the understanding of economy and warfare. It's like, what could go wrong?
Everything could go wrong.
Yeah. This is how you make Skynet.
Exactly. You want Skynet? Because this is how you get Skynet.
So hopefully someone realizes that that's a bad idea and then kind of pulls the plug on that. But I don't know how far down the road they've gotten with starting it. All I know is if we have trouble with StarCraft, we can always see if we can enlist, you know, some of the players that used to beat me in high school and college.
Save us, Korea.
I always lost while playing online, kind of with random people. I probably won, I would say, like 40% of the time when I was playing with people I knew. And, you know, it's, and then playing against the computer AI was probably like 90%. I don't know why, or at least in the original StarCraft. I haven't played StarCraft 2 at all, which I think is what they're basing this on. But in any case, this is going to be one to keep an eye on, or just pull the plug on that. I mean, I don't think it's really a necessary skill that AIs understand, you know, how to build more pylons.
They're going to have to redo the Terminator and make John Connor Korean. if this is how things are going.
You heard it here first. Kind of sticking with kind of crazy and wild projects like DeepMind, SpaceX, run by our favorite, you know, real life Tony Stark, Elon Musk, is filed a plan with NASA to launch some satellites. And when I say some, the number is 4,425 satellites, which is a lot of freaking satellites, given that the number of satellites currently in orbit is something like 1,400 of them. So,
plus all the space junk that's up there.
Yeah, and there's a fair amount of that too. but yeah, 4,000 satellites, and they're going to be roughly, I think it's you know, the size of a small car and something like 800 pounds each, and they're going to be you know, surrounding the Earth, and what they're going to be there for is internet access. So it's an interesting plan. I guess they can set the satellites up and then have directional beams to and from the satellites to ground stations where they can handle you know, the bandwidth for that. And then the satellites themselves can give upwards of, I think it's 15 or 30 gigabits, you know, each. And then they overlap and they cover an area. And the effective idea, or the idea, is to give everyone an effective gigabit link wirelessly everywhere in the world. Crazy.
That is pretty cool.
Crazy awesome. Yeah.
I do have a couple issues with it.
Yeah.
There's already a lot of stuff in space.
Yeah.
Orbiting the Earth. That's going to make it pretty crowded up there.
It is.
That could be dangerous. and also, I may be employed by an internet service provider. And that could be bad for my job.
Well, it doesn't say. I don't think they have a timeline for launching. And in fact, right now SpaceX is in. They're still kind of not. I don't think trouble is the word, but they are. They have a self-imposed kind of hiatus on launches because they had a launch fail kind of spectacularly not too long ago, maybe a month ago or 2 months ago, that had a. I think it was a satellite that. Ironically, Facebook was going to launch, which I believe was for providing internet via satellite. So I think that's an interesting kind of coincidence there, maybe. But because of that, the loss of that module and satellite, they're kind of rethinking, you know, what and investigating what caused it to fail, and you know whether they can launch again. I know that they have. A bunch of planned launches that are just kind of backed up. But in the meantime, I also read somewhere that the U.S., due to commercial launches, is now surpassing Russia in terms of launches overall.
USA, USA. Good.
And I know we've talked about that in the past. It's like, let's get off of the Soyuz train to the ISS.
Ideally. Our plutocrats are better than your plutocrats.
Well, we'll see how that shakes out. Hopefully, we can still launch and get stuff to the to and from the International Space Station. Ideally, from the U.S. America. I love it.
What do you think all the people who freak out about Wi-Fi are going to do if a company launches a global network of internet? The Adam's going to kill me.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of bandwidth flying around. I think the it was really interesting because I think the article said it was effectively a gigabit per second per person, and the current kind of average is something like 5 megabits per person. You know, because you can only get so much over cell phones, and internet varies widely. You know, in homes and things like that. So a gigabit per second is pretty significant. You're talking like a lot of data. I don't know if that's up and down though. That's really interesting. Cause I've seen satellite based, internet, I think DirecTV, they call it DirecPC. No T, cause just has DirecTV only has one T. They made DirecPC, but they dropped the T anyway. Their thing was distributing internet over satellite, but it only worked for downstream. So when you were downloading something, it came in over the satellite. But if you ever wanted to upload anything, you actually were doing that over a modem line at the same time, which is super lame. So I don't know if this is you know, downstream and upstream. I hope so. Because a gigabit, it would be real rad. I just changed internet providers, and it's faster, but it's nowhere near a gigabit. it's like a 20th of that or something. It's a lot, but I wouldn't mind a little more internet. I think everyone wouldn't. But we'll see with that. What's going on with SpaceX. But speaking of the internet and how much of it there is and everything else, the Internet Archive at archive.org, they run the Internet Wayback Machine, and they generally catalog stuff. They have a number of servers that all they're doing is they're taking snapshots of pretty much every site on the internet, and they do it periodically. I don't know what algorithm they use to kind of trigger that for changes. But if you look back at, you know, you could look back at the at any website, and you can see the design changes over the years, and generally look at things on the internet, you know, before things changed or whenever they changed. And so it's an interesting archive of all of that. And as you can imagine, that's a lot of data, because it's essentially a copy of anything you could potentially get to on the internet. Pictures, links, text mostly, but also video files and stuff like that. It's anything that they can archive. They try to, and they're also using it to archive books and publications that are, you know, licensed for that, so in the public domain or otherwise archivable. And they issued a statement this week saying that they actually don't have multi-site backups for their data. So just another point: backups are a thing, and off-site backups are even better, even more of a thing. And so they are going to create an offsite backup for the entirety of the Internet Archive in Canada, and they're doing that specifically in Canada because they will want to make it. Their reasoning is that they want to make it safe in case Donald Trump's America ends up destroying something or otherwise failing, such that the normal Internet Archive servers are unavailable or compromised. So yay, I guess, for Canada. Hopefully that's only a backup and they don't ever switch to Canada as the primary server for that kind of thing. But I do applaud the Internet Archive for thinking of both, you know, that they A, needed a backup, and B, needed a backup that was offsite. That's 100% great, in my opinion. I remember
great again.
So I remember a while ago looking at websites, and I looked at a personal website of mine that I was able to find at I think it was from when I was in college, and it's in the Internet Wayback Machine, and it looks just as horrible and amateurish as I remember. in some ways I think it's a great idea, and in a lot of other ways it's like I only want to look at it to be embarrassed at how bad the internet can be sometimes. But the internet is still a thing, whether it's coming to you kind of wirelessly, you know, from space or not. It's still 100% a thing. What's also 100% a thing, because we talk about it almost every show, not every show, is 3D printing. We talk about that a lot on the podcast. It's definitely a thing. And specifically, the 3D printing of tissues and bioprinting and things like that. It's a really interesting field, and we've talked about it a lot in the past, but usually those are done by very kind of specialized labs, and they have researchers on their own and things like that. In Australia, at a hospital group, and I'm sure I don't have it right, here we go, the Hurston Health Precinct in Australia, they are adding a biofabrication institute to the hospital. So they're dedicating two floors of a building specifically for to be a lab for investigating and eventually actually doing bioprinting of tissues and other things for helping people heal. And ideally, you know, eventually their goal is to 3D print actual organs for people. We've talked about it on the show where there was a scientist in insert episode here who was using stem cells extracted from skin to regrow skin that matches, you know, the host for burn victims and things like that. So, you know, things like that would happen at this biofabrication institute. They have kind of a concept picture of what the room looks like, and it's this kind of interestingly laid out, very very sci-fi, like, you know, table, which, you know, tables in sci-fi never look like tables. They're a little like too curvy or too white or whatever, but it looks like that in the person lying on top of it that they made kind of generic and not look like a person. It makes it look like the entire person is being bioprinted. And all I can think of is I really have to start watching Westworld, like really, like probably this week, which I think is the finale week. Am I reading that right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So I'll catch up. I think. But, you know, here's to Australia for getting the 3D printing facility into the hospital. I think that that means the research will probably happen a lot closer to the people kind of playing with it and experimenting with it. There's going to be some stories, you know, coming out of this one for sure as time goes on. So we'll keep an eye on that one too. Let's see, what else do we have on the list here? Is that it on the list? Oh my gosh, this was a quick show.
We've done it.
I think we're still kind of coming down off of Thanksgiving, and then our show last week where we talked way a lot about kind of getting everything off our chest politically that has happened to us over the last month.
That was one of our longer episodes.
So I think this balances it out, but if you would like to be a part of an episode, a short one or a long one, whatever you like, please let us know. Tweet at us, Facebook us, go to the notathingpodcast.com website and let the Howl 900 know. If you have any thoughts about this show, leave them in the comments on the webpage. You can see the show notes where we'll have links to a lot of the stories that we talked about. My cat will not be on the show next week. Well, maybe. I don't know. She's very talkative. But we'll do our best to get folks on the show. We love having guests as we round out towards the, you know, the end of the year here. We're going to have our Bakhtun in review show. That's exciting. That'll be in a few weeks. But in the meantime, let us know what you think of the show. Let us know what things or not things you'd like to talk about. And if you'd like to be on the show, feel free to get in touch with us. And we'd love to have you. Being a guest on the show is a thing. So feel free to join us. And with that, Brendan, I will talk to you next week.
Till you next time, Alan.